This afternoon, I am speaking with Norman Sasseville. Everyone who mentions the leadership of the Conservation Commission speaks of him. This commission has existed in Westport for many years, and many dedicated Westport citizens have given much time to the effort to help preserve the values that Westporters hold so dear, namely our beautiful marshes, rivers, dunes, farmlands, beaches, and open spaces. We have known how valuable our wetlands are to our birds and fish and plant life, to our whole ecology. The Conservation Committee is appointed by the town government. Some years it has worked more effectively than others. Norman Sasseville is one of the reasons why it is so effective at the present time. I am Mary Giles, and I'm anxious to learn some facts about you. How and why did you become interested in the preservation of Westport's resources?
Well, you know, I lived in Westport for a few years before I joined the commission. And I'm almost a charter member, not quite. I think the commission was in existence a year or so before I joined. But one of my colleagues at the time was a member, a charter member. He became ill and could not continue, so he submitted my name to the selectman, and they appointed me to fill his term.
Yes.
Finish his term.
Another colleagues in what now? I mean, this is very informal, so colleagues in...
I'm a professor of biology at SMU.
Yes, that's what I wanted you to tell.
This colleague of mine was Walter Marston, who is a professor of chemistry at Westporter, lives on River Road. So I took his place, and I've been on ever since. You know, just the fact that I live here, I'm interested in the town.
Yes. Because you're a professor of biology, you're interested
in the town.
Of course,
right. Yeah. Background in biology, I think it is also obvious that I would be interested in environmental affairs.
Yes. Well, this is what I wanted to have on the tape, and I didn't want to say it myself. How does the commission operate?
Well, you know, for a number of years at the beginning, the commission didn't do much of anything substantive. We sort of primarily in an educational role, educating ourselves as to what the conservation movement was about and what could be done. And of course, back in those days, the statutes did not exist in the books that the commission could use as a way of backing its action. So it was very, very much an advisory board at that time, as I say.
Whom did you advise?
The selectmen, planning board, board of health, various town bodies, and this is still a function of the commission to this day. It's one of the prime functions. It is the only board in town that really concerns itself as a primary concern with the environment, so that we are advisory to the board of health, selectmen, planning board. But the big change came in the early 70s. You know, 1972, the state legislature passed a law, the so-called Wetlands Act, Chapter 131, Section 40. And that made a big difference, too, because prior to that time, we could take very little action. If we discovered, for example, that someone was doing some horrendous thing to our environment, we would have to call Boston and wait for them to come down.
Yes.
Of course, they were overworked.
Yes.
We were far enough away from Boston so that it was inconvenient for them to run down here every time we had a problem. So that obviously was not satisfactory.
Yeah.
I imagine the people in the western part of the state were even worse straits than we were in terms of distances. So in 1972, the legislature changed the Wetlands Act and gave really a tremendous amount of authority to the local commissions, to the point now where the local commissions have the major say. The Boston people are essentially acting as an appeal if someone should disagree with our work, our recommendations, they can appeal to Boston. But the bulk of the work is now being done locally, and I think it's worked quite well.
Well, yes, that's why it's been so effective now. Too.
We've had some good people in the commission over
the years.
I think the selectmen are to be commended, you know, for their appointments. They've made some good appointments. over the years.
One of my close friends, Virginia Guptill, worked terribly hard with you.
She certainly does. She's been on it quite a number of years, too. Mm-hmm. I'm delighted that she's on. Every once in a while she talks about quitting, you know.
I know she does. Yeah. She says she's so tired.
But I hope that day's not going to be soon.
I hope not, too. Because I think she is a good worker. And she's a bright, very bright woman. Do you think the people of Westport could be more cooperative? Or do you think they fulfill
Yes, I think one can always say that, though. You know, it
yes.
would be a utopia to be able to answer no to that. As much as you know, we've tried to educate people in terms of letting them know
mm-hmm.
what the conservation does and is responsible for. We find that people still don't know very much. I suspect in some cases they know, but they claim they don't know as a way of covering up
mm-hmm.
you know, something maybe that they want to do or that they've done. But most people don't know too much about it until they have to deal with it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What means of really communicating with the people do you have?
We've had newspaper features.
That depends on how the editor of the paper
right.
feels.
They've done pretty well with it, though. And we've printed brochures of various sorts. One time, I guess, we've mailed one to every box holder in town.
I remember a cute little owl on a green tree.
Right. We usually have them available at town meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we see that the library is well supplied
mm-hmm.
with all sorts
mm-hmm.
of these things. It's a difficult thing, and at the last few years, we really don't have an awful lot of time to devote to this. We've been so busy with other things. You know, we've taken on the soil board functions
mm-hmm.
in town.
I didn't realize that you were completely,
completely
responsible
in charge
for that.
Oil, soil, gravel, sand removal permits,
mm-hmm.
operations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've reached a point now where we're meeting twice a month. Each one of those meetings is a long, all evening long meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes meetings in between just to keep our head above water. It's busy.
It's a big job, isn't it?
And it's going to get bigger. You know, if you look into the future, the trend, it's kind of obvious, I think, that the legislature is going to increase the power of the local commissions. I think in the future we will find that the membership will be an elected one
mm-hmm.
and not an appointed one.
Mm-hmm.
There's considerable movement now, I think, to change the law so
mm-hmm.
that the commissioners will stand election
mm-hmm.
the way the Board of Health people do in the
mm-hmm.
planning board. And
mm-hmm.
that's good and bad, both.
Tell me what's good and what's bad.
Well, it's good if you are in a situation where the selectmen, the present appointing authority, play politics with it.
Mm-hmm.
If they appoint their friends or they appoint people who tend to be partial to developers to the point of ignoring
that's
the
bad.
Environment. Right.
I thought you said that was good for.
That's bad.
That's
the selectmen
bad.
Are going to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
The good part of it is that if the selectmen are judicious in their appointment, they can probably. This will probably result in a better qualified commission than the elected route, because the elected route, of course, anybody can run,
mm-hmm.
and one will not necessarily get elected, I suspect, on the basis of their qualifications, but. Maybe on who spends the most money in the campaign, or
who has the most personality, you know.
Whatever,
appeal.
Yeah. It may not be the best person.
Mm-hmm.
Where the selectmen are really conscientious, they can study the people and look at the backgrounds of the people that they're appointing and have some good boards.
Well, after hearing what you say about this, I think maybe it's better to be appointed than elected.
Well, I think it is. I think it's been for the most part in Westport. But you know, if you look through the state, because you have to look at the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
In so many towns, it's a political football.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that this is where the thrust is coming towards the elected
mm-hmm.
aspect, because
mm-hmm.
in so many places, the selectmen don't take this function seriously.
Now we're getting into another thing, but it's all related, it's all tied up, and that is, has Westport become so large that a town meeting form of government is... We have is not necessarily the best form of government. We have it's so big and so few people
mm-hmm.
come out to meeting. in proportion to the number of citizens we have.
At one time, I, matter of fact, I talked to people a little bit about maybe pushing for a representative town government, but I've since abandoned that.
Yes.
I think the town meeting as we have it, with all its faults, I would like to go on in that fashion for as long as possible.
Yes, I had thought that way too. Then I heard that we know that there's a representative form of government in Dartmouth, mm-hmm. and then the representatives don't go, and so nobody's there.
Yeah. It's awkward this way, but I think, you know, there's some terrific advantages
mm-hmm.
to an open, real open town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really disturb me an awful lot that only 600 people come. No more than it disturbs me that only 53% of the electorate voted in this last presidential election. Maybe it's a rationalization, but I think that those who come to the town meeting are those who care.
Mm-hmm.
And those who aren't there don't care. And if you force them to come, I don't think that their actions would benefit mm-hmm. the town.
Then the next question is, how can more people be helped to care? Isn't it, really?
Right, right. That's the basic question. Right. And in town, I don't know. I frankly don't know.
I wonder if more, I mean, not necessarily publicity, but more information, more education, more work with people in the schools. I mean, children growing up mm-hmm. are going to be future citizens and so on.
It's an attitudinal thing.
Mm-hmm. I think. It is.
It's a question of attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're right. Maybe the children is a place to start. Those that are adults, it's already too late. We're in the mold.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the rut, aren't
we? Yes. So. And it's awfully difficult to move in on the schools.
Yes, yeah.
And how to relate the schools to the selectmen and the town government is difficult.
Yes.
What other services, if any, have you performed here in the town?
Well, of course, the commission by law is entitled to purchase, acquire by gift, a property, or conservation easements on property. And we do, the commission does own, or I should say the town owns, but the commission manages property which is owned by the town, such as the Cherry and Webb parcel of property, which was donated to the town, with the proviso that the commission would manage it. And we've added to that by buying Elton Trip property, which is now being used as sort of a town beach, and the town forest area, and we have area up in the north end of town. So we are involved in that aspect of management. We've done work in the town forest. We every year do work at in Horseneck, Cherry mm-hmm. Webb, mm-hmm. the Trip property.
Mm-hmm.
Plantings, different schemes to try to minimize and control erosion. So these are things that we do over and above just the administration of the Wetlands Act and the Soil Board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a big job, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think people realize, I mean, somehow or other, I wish we could get to the paper, even, so that more specific articles could really tell more. Westport is growing and changing. If you were, if it were in your power, which directions would you like to see Westport go in?
If it were in my power, that's given me an awful lot of power.
Yes, it is. Here you are, powerful.
Yeah. I'd like to turn the clock back, I think, if I could a little bit. And, of course, that's impossible.
Well, that is one of the answers which I thought might come, though.
Yeah. And, you know, if that were not possible, to stop the clock where it is, and, of course, that isn't possible either. I think, you know, despite my own wishes, the town is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not as worried about it as I was years ago, say 10 years ago, because at that time it seemed to me that people were not as aware as they are today. And the laws did not exist to prevent people from really despoiling the environment. And even though the laws that we have today can be improved on, there are loopholes, you know, and things of that sort.
I think we have a fighting change, right?
We've got zoning, we've passed the zoning, we've got the Squat Lanes Act, and I think things will improve in that direction. The town will continue to grow, you know, I'm positive of that. But I hope not in a detrimental way.
The direction of change is almost impossible in a way to predict, except we, as you say, I agree with you, I feel more hopeful than I did six years ago.
Still not completely assured that everything is going to go well, but I think there is a better chance that it will. This younger generation, I think, you know, I think they have learned a good attitude earlier than we did, earlier than I did, I'll speak for myself. Seems to me that it took me more years to develop an attitude, a positive attitude towards the environment than many of the younger people have today.
Yes. It means giving up. Actually, in many cases, it may mean giving up some things.
Absolutely.
But the alternatives are not happy to think about. Well, I'm very grateful to you for coming, and thank you. I don't know whether you could tell me a little bit more specifically anything about how you function than you have, because I don't know enough about it to know how to ask the question.
Well, I can go into detail if you like.
I'd like a little bit more detail. I think people, as they read this, would enjoy and appreciate knowing detail.
Well, for example, the Wetland Act essentially specifies that one cannot alter in any way wetlands or within 100 feet wetland. And recently that's been interpreted to include the floodplain as if it were wetland. So any work that's to be done that falls under that category requires a permit of sort. The individual is required to file a notice of intent with the Conservation Commission describing the project in detail. We by law have to advertise a hearing. And the project is described, explained at the hearing. We look at it from the point of view of possible impact on the environment. And if we feel that there is a significant effect on the environment, then we are obliged, in a sense, to set certain conditions that the project would be done in such a fashion. Certain conditions. And the individual must conform to this unless the individual is willing to appeal our decision to the state. Now, we've had very, very few of those.
How have they turned out when they have appealed?
The last one we had was the one on the lagoon. Because that was a sort of a mixed-up situation anyway. But we had made a certain determination in regards to the lagoon site, and the Thomases had appealed our decision, and their appeal was denied. There was a question of interpretation of law there, really. That's really what the entire issue was about. It's not that we were in favor of a lagoon, but we felt that we could not interpret the law in such a way as to say they couldn't put it there. And that's a decision that had been appealed.
I don't want this tape to run out, but how do you feel about the way the handling, the vote on the lagoon?
Well, I certainly wasn't surprised at all. My own personal view was that I really did not favor a lagoon. But as a member of the commission, I could not, on the basis of the Wetlands Act, oppose it officially.
Yes.
And I certainly wasn't surprised at the outcome of the town meeting.
Certainly was it was enormous, wasn't it? I mean, it was just a clear-cut mandate.
It was a question of circumstances, mm-hmm. though, because if, you know, if people were not getting septic tanks pumped and if sewage were flowing in the streets, they would have voted
mm-hmm.
for the lagoon. It's just that nobody was in a state of emergency, and under those circumstances, people were not going to vote additional money.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't see any reason for mm-hmm. it. I anticipated that, I guess.
Well, that's the one thing that I was hoping would come up and come out, was that most recent event which related to your mm-hmm. activity. And I've heard so many things that I won't even begin to go into them about how if you have someone, a honey wagon from Somerset come and take the load, you pay $25 or $35, whereas if you someone from here goes, it costs $135, right. and so on. So it seems to be a sort of a messy business. Well, I'll say goodbye, and thank you very much. You've really explained this very thoroughly, I think. I think all we need to do as people is begin to help you.
We're getting more and more of that, but we certainly could use a lot more.
A lot more. With now, for instance, Andrew, I'm going to play bridge with him. He can influence what goes into the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bye.